Venerable Sir and friends. Buddhism, generally speaking, is known as a religion. And as a religion, we may say, it exists on two, quite different, quite distinct, but nevertheless quite intimately connected and related levels. That is to say, it exists on a popular level, a level of popular practice and observance and faith and piety, and it exists also on what we may describe within single inverted commas as a philosophical level, a level of higher thought, of metaphysics, even of transcendental intuition, and so on. Now, turning to popular Buddhism, or Buddhism as it exists on the popular level, the level of popular practice, we find that one of the most popular of these popular practices is that of going on pilgrimage. I remember when I was in India years ago, I remember every autumn, every winter, bands of people started arriving in India, especially in Bihar and UP, from all the Buddhist countries of Asia, even from far away England and America, to visit some of the places associated with the life and teaching of the Buddha, places like Buddhagaya, where he gained enlightenment, Sarnath, where he taught his first discourse, and so on. And many of these people had come a very, very long way indeed, not only hundreds, but even thousands of miles, to visit these places, to pay their respects in these ancient sacred shrines to the memory of the Buddha, the Enlightened One. And it was noticeable, it was observable, that when they left their own countries, they left sometimes in great companies, not only of scores, but even of hundreds of people. But it was also noticeable that not all of them arrived at their destination. Some fell, as it were, by the wayside. Some just died en route. Others, unfortunately, I sometimes noticed, on their way to the holy places, got detained rather a long time in Calcutta, and sometimes didn't get on to the holy places at all. And in fact, I remember in the case of some of my Tibetan friends, when they used to say that they were going off on pilgrimage for 3 months. We knew that that meant 2 days in Buddhagaya and the rest of the time among the flesh pots of Calcutta. So this is the sort of thing that happens. A few, at least, will fall by the wayside in one way or another. Now, in the course of the last few weeks, I think it's 6 or 7 weeks now, we too have been on what we may describe as a sort of pilgrimage. We've been following, or trying to follow, in imagination at least, a path much more long, much more difficult than any trod by any earthly pilgrim in the purely geographical sense. The pilgrimage, the journey upon the Buddha's noble eightfold path. And in this journey of ours, in this pilgrimage of ours, many set out at the beginning, and most of those, I'm glad to say, are still with us, even after some 6, now 7, rather strenuous weeks. A few, of course, have joined us en route. They weren't with us for the earlier stages of the pilgrimage, but they joined us en route and are still perhaps with us. And everybody seems to be making a quite good, quite satisfactory progress in this pilgrimage of ours. But today we come almost to, if not the end of our journey, at least to the beginning of the end. Because today we're going to consider the question of levels of awareness. Levels of awareness. In other words, today we shall be concerned with what is usually termed right mindfulness, which is the seventh stage or seventh aspect of the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path. But before we go on to this stage, before we try to understand some of the implications of right mindfulness, of awareness, let us just first of all allow ourselves a very quick backward glance. Let us look back along the path that we've traversed so far and try to ascertain just how far we have come. We saw in the first place that this great path, the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path, consists of two great stages, two principal stages. The first is known as the path of vision. The second is known as the path of transformation. The first, the path of vision, consists in what we've described as the initial spiritual insight and experience. Insight into, experience of, the true nature of existence or reality itself. And this path of vision comprises the first stage, the first of the eight stages of the path, that is to say, what is termed perfect vision, samyak drishti. Now the second great stage, the stage or path of transformation we saw, consists in the whole process of transformation by this insight, by this vision of the different aspects and the different levels of our own being and our own consciousness. And this stage, the stage of transformation, comprises, we saw, in the first place, perfect emotion, then perfect speech, perfect action, perfect livelihood, and perfect effort. And the first three of these we saw, that is to say, perfect emotion, perfect speech, and perfect action, these three pertain more to the transformation of our individual life, our individual existence. Whereas the fourth of these, that is to say, the fifth stage of the path, perfect livelihood, pertains more to the transformation of all aspects of our collective existence, whether social or political or economic. Perfect effort, we saw, represents the transformation of the individual will or volition. And as we saw last week, this perfect effort is fourfold, or of four kinds, consisting in an effort to prevent, an effort to eradicate what are known as unskillful mental states, and in an effort to develop and to maintain what are known as skillful mental states. Now this stage of the path, this aspect of the path, perfect effort, also pertains, we saw, more to the transformation of the individual life, the individual will, the individual volition, but it does this against, as we also saw, a very wide background indeed. This background being nothing less than the whole evolutionary process, the whole story, the whole history of the evolution of life and consciousness on this planet. In fact, perfect effort, we saw, represents what we may describe as the evolutionary aspect of the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path. It draws attention to the fact that the Eightfold Path, in fact the whole of the higher spiritual life, is a sort of continuation on an even higher level of the evolutionary process itself. So that one can in fact speak of two great stages or phases of evolution, that is to say, what we've termed lower evolution and what we've termed higher evolution. Lower evolution, we saw, is the whole process of development of life from the amoeba up to the self-aware human being, whereas the second, the higher evolution, is the whole process of development of the self-aware human being right up to enlightened humanity, the state or position of an enlightened human being, that is to say, a Buddha, a fully emancipated, wise, and compassionate one. So this stage, this phase of the higher evolution is represented by the higher religions in general, and especially we would say by Buddhism, the Buddha's teaching, and in particular, in its higher reaches at least, by this same noble eightfold path. Now we saw towards the end of last week's talk that the lower evolution and the higher evolution are, as it were, continuous. The one leads out of, develops from the other. But at the same time, we saw, there are important differences between them, between lower evolution and higher evolution. Lower evolution is collective. The species advances as a whole, as a group. Whereas the higher evolution is individual. It's one person at a time. So that one person may go a little ahead, another may remain a little behind. Also, we saw the lower evolution is largely unconscious. The lower the level of evolution, the more unconscious it is. And even in its higher levels, its higher reaches, it is at least not actually self-conscious. But the higher evolution, on the other hand, on the contrary, the higher evolution is self-conscious. It is aware. It is something which is, as it were, personally directed, personally willed into existence, personally achieved in awareness and clear consciousness. And this is the point where, this is the point at which we arrived last week. And we'll lead on today from there,